Praise God. We had a real presence of the Lord with us this morning. Whilst we were in Sheffield. Not that we don't hear, but it was a good service, and I think God really ministered to them. So praise the Lord. So that was great, and they want us back next month. They want us to continue. So anyway, is everybody ready?
Yeah.
Good. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. Let me just encourage you about something. Today, guess what I ministered on today? Matthew chapter 5, 6, and then into Revelation, basically. And I believe God wants to get a message through to the church. And I don't mean just you.
No.
I mean the church worldwide. Because the message has got lost at the moment.
Yeah.
And the church has become soulish and worldly. And God did not allow his son Jesus to die on a cross for the church, that the church would then worship the idols in the world. And so all worship should be focused on Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit. The Trinity. Inseparable but yet separate. Different functions. And I was, again, as I say, I'm still, it's about 2 years now, isn't it? Stuck in Matthew 6. See, you know, I didn't say this morning, but again, it's this seek ye first the King of the kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you. Honestly, for me at the moment, beginning to see, it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
There's no complication about it. And I started reading Matthew chapter 5. And I've realised, after all these years, I've realised that you can literally read Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 6, and that's everything you need to know. And chapter 7, you know. Three chapters, and that's all you need to read about the Bible. And if you can grasp that, you've grasped hold of the kingdom and everything that's needed. And I've just thought, wow, I can't believe that it... But it is. It's so simple. So I just encourage you, over the next few weeks, read Matthew 5, 6 and 7. 5, 6 and 7. 5, 6 and 7. And just keep reading. 5, 6 and 7. And each time you read it, ask God to show you something different. Right? And you will see something different as you read it. Because I started reading this again, and I'm thinking, this is so simple.
Yeah.
It's so simple that we've missed it. How did we manage to do that? It's as plain as the nose on your end of your face there, basically. How did we miss it? So I want to encourage you to go back to these chapters 5, 6 and 7. It's so important to read these again. And really understand where it's all coming from. If we look at chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, "And when you pray, go into your inner room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you." So many people want to be heard. God said, you know, one of the things that I'm realizing more and more, if you put Jesus first, then everything else, your future, is already sorted and sealed. I'll say that again. Because you need to remember this, because we are so trained and disciplined into, you've got to do this for yourself, you've got to do that, because if you don't, you're going to miss out. Well, I'll tell you, if you don't seek the King, if you don't spend time with your Heavenly Father, you will miss out. You can gather riches, you can gather wealth, you can gather possessions. And the Pharaohs decided they were going to take them with them, didn't they? You know, they built the pyramids and a storage, big storage place, take all my things into the next life. Well, guess what? They went on, but the things stayed behind, and then somebody one day broke in and took it. Yeah, that's right. And so, it's not about what you've gathered. It's about who you've gathered.
Amen.
Who have you gathered? And so we need to spend more time seeking God, seeking the face of God, understanding what He's saying to us. And when you are praying, verse 7 says, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they propose that they will be heard for them many words. It's not about massive words and the large number of words that you use, but it's about the heart. It's the heart. You see, you can get somebody who's very, very eloquent, and they can pray. They can pray into heaven and pray out of heaven. They can do all these things. But do they really have the heartbeat of God?
That's a problem.
You know? And just simple words, a simple prayer, can be the heartbeat of God. Yeah? And we have to realize that God wants from your heart to His heart. Yeah? That's what He wants to hear. And worship for you and for me should be the very heartbeat. Because it touches God. And His heartbeat touches yours. And we come to a unity and a harmony together with God. Verse 8 says, therefore do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Yeah. You see, God knows what you need even before you ask. You see, you haven't asked yet because you don't know what you need. But God does. You see, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Do you? But God does. God knows what's coming tomorrow. And God has already made provision for tomorrow. God has already made provision for tomorrow. And if you and I will believe that, and if you and I will act in that, as Grace has said, there's no fear. There's no fear. Everything's fine. And so you have peace in your heart. What you do have, actually, is not just peace in your heart. You have the peace of God in your heart. Praise His wonderful name. And so when we have the peace of God in our heart, we're moving into a new dimension with Him. We're moving into a new realm. And that is what God wants for us. Now the disciples had watched Jesus. They'd listened to Jesus. They'd listened to his teachings, as you read in Matthew 5. And then suddenly they come up and say, "Lord, you've just blown us away, really. We just don't know what. How are we going to handle all of this? Lord, teach us how to pray. Because you've just put his mind out to grasp. We cannot comprehend, you know, what we've been taught so far by our old ways. And what you have taught us, we just cannot comprehend them. We can't. The two don't fit together, and they don't.
No.
It's a new way. It's a new way. And so then Jesus goes on and he teaches, pray then in this way. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, worshipped be thy name. Sacred, adorable, wonderful, hallowed is thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is not talking about the world that you and I live in. He's not talking about the kingdom coming into the world that you and I live in. He's talking about the kingdom of God coming into this earth, this body. You and me. That's what he's talking about. And so for you and me, Jesus is saying, this is how you pray. This is, you're asking God to bring his best into you. A little bit like when Solomon became king as a young man. And as he was seeking God, God came to him and said, Solomon, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? Whatever you ask for, you can have. He's a young man. He has ambition. He could have said, I'd like to rule the world for you, God. I'd like to conquer all the nations. Because that's what, you know, that's what's been happening throughout the generations, isn't it? Alexander the Great, Napoleon, the Hitler, even the United Kingdom. We went out and conquered many nations, took possession. And usually when you look at that, it's by brute force, oppression, greed, death and devastation at times. But what does Solomon ask for? He says, Lord, Father God, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to lead these people, this great nation that you've put me in charge of. I need your wisdom. And God said, I'll give you that. But because you've asked righteously, and you've asked not anything for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, he says, I'm going to bless you with an abundance.
Amen.
To be the greatest king. You see, his focus was, God, what can I do for you, for these people?
Yeah.
He had an understanding. He got this from his father David. David, God never left him unprovided for. And David went through some difficult times. But God never left him unprovided for. God always provided. Lessons to learn. And David never raised his hand against his own family that came against him. He said, well, if it's my time to leave the throne, then so be it. But if it's not, let God remove them.
Amen.
David never removed a king from the throne of Israel. He said, if it's God's will that they are to be on that throne, then so be it. Oh, I am fighting against God. But it wasn't God's will. But God allowed David to go through that process of understanding that no matter what's happening, if he will just focus on God, the Creator, if he will focus on his coming Messiah, Jesus, all will be well. Put God first, then all these other things shall be added unto you. And each time this happened, David was justified, Solomon was blessed. They knew the blessings of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in this earth, as it is in heaven. You see, what God wants today, for you and for me, is what is happening in heaven needs to be happening in us. That needs to be happening. Whatever is happening in heaven should be happening in us right now. That's a challenge. First question is, what's happening in heaven? Wow, it's a big question, isn't it? And that's why we need spiritual eyes. We need our spiritual eyes to be opened, to see what God is doing, to understand what God is doing. You see, we can look through the natural eye, but we won't see God. We need to look through the eyes of the Spirit, because God is Spirit, and we will see God, we will see what God is doing. And so Jesus is teaching these disciples that when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in me. Wow. We're saying, Lord, deal with me. Begin to deal with me, Lord, and drive out the things of the kingdom of the earth and replace things with the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven in my life. And so cut me off from the things of earth that interfere with the things of you. Cut me off from the things that take possession and take hold where you should be seated in my life. And so we pray, Jesus says, this is how you pray. And that as you pray these things, you will see then, my kingdom will come. My will be done in your life. Goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. You and I need to realize that God has formed us from the dust of the earth. And in that forming from the dust of the earth, God is saying he's taking all of that dust and he's breathing new life into it through Jesus Christ. And the kingdom of God has to take hold of this which is physical and turn it into the supernatural. See, God has created you and me to be supernatural. Right? You got born again for one reason. Because God wants to create you into a supernatural being. We sing that song, I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. But you see, the thing is, in our own minds we sing that song, but the only thing we think about is that now I no longer physically do these stupid wrong things. So now I've become a new creation. But I want to push you further.
Amen.
Because God is saying, I want you to realize that that new creation is actually a new spiritual being. And we're not talking about purely and simply the things of the flesh. But we're talking about the things of the Spirit. The typical example is that you and I very symbolic as we've been looking at the tabernacle. We talk about the tabernacle as being the outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. Now I know when we read the Bible it says that you, human beings, were made spirit, soul and body. We say that that way round because it flows easier. For some reason, it flows easier to say spirit, soul and body. Whether that's because we've always said it that way. But actually, we're body, soul and spirit. When you look at us, outwardly. Right? When you look at somebody, what do you see?
Body.
A body. When you spend time with somebody, you hear their soul, their emotion, their mind. Yeah? You're pressing in, you're going through the outer court, the body. The inner court, the soulish man. But then beyond that, there's the holy place where God resides. There's the holy place where God resides. Which God's that? Those that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, their God is... It can be, yeah, like a beer can, I suppose. The demonic, the lost spiritual side. That which causes man to become desperately cruel and wicked, become lost and end up on drugs and other things. Oh, there's the other side. The side of God. When we're born again of the Spirit of God. And when we're born again, something happens in the holy place.
Amen.
The light had gone out in the holy place. In the day of Samuel. I was trying to think of his forerunner, Eli. The light had gone out in the holy place. He'd probably even gone out in the inner court. They'd stopped bringing the oil. The temple was being neglected. It was corrupt. His sons were corrupt. They were stealing money. They were taking women. They were doing all sorts of things. Sounds like the church today, actually, in some churches anyway. We've just been hearing about that in where we've been today, that quite a few of the African churches have got to a point where they're becoming so corrupt. And you just think, what is going on? And so in the days, the light had gone out because God was grieving in his spirit. And God cannot spend time in the presence of sin and sinful man. And so they were going through a process, giving an appearance of godliness. And God had written over the doorway, Ichabod, the glory, it means the glory of the Lord has departed. That's what Ichabod means. The glory of the Lord has departed. Nobody could see it. Because they were putting on a show, putting on a sham. Maybe like today, flashing lights, smoke machines and plenty loud music and God must be in the place. Is he?
Is he allowed in?
Well, that's a good comment. Is he allowed in? I tell you, this morning we were in church and I began to minister the word and got to a point where I just sensed and felt such a presence of the Lord come in that I could not stand and minister. I just felt it, I just went to my knees. Because the presence of God, because he was talking about worship, you see, God wants worship for himself. God will not give his glory to anybody else. He will not give his glory to another man. And God wants his church, he wants his people to worship him. Because in that worshipping of him, God, we enter into a closeness and a relationship with him that is indescribable. And that's why I can't tell you what it's like. It's indescribable. It's very personal, yeah. In that relationship that you cultivate with God, and that you allow God into areas of your life, and you allow God to move into your spirit, because you see, God wants to touch you by his spirit. The word tells us, not by might,
hallelujah.
Not by power. There's been a lot of might and a lot of power over the generations through this world that has sought to rule people's lives, yeah. Haven't they? Yeah. A lot of might, a lot of power being put towards that. We're going to rule over nations. We're going to subdue nations. They will bow the knee. You know, Hitler said, are you going to subdue all the nations? And he was going to build a superior race. It's amazing how the devil gets hold of God ideas and corrupts them. God's intention is to build a superior race. Spiritual. That was in Genesis, by the way. So all that we've got now is the devil copying. Trying to copy. But in the copy, there's corruptions. Yeah. There are flaws in the copies. And they all break down. And they all bring destruction to many lives and many people. Oi! They bring destruction to lives of many people. But when Jesus came, he said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came to give his life, that in that exchange of him giving his life to you, he's going to raise up a powerful spiritual nation. He's going to raise up that which is incorruptible. Now that's a good word, that which is incorruptible. Amen. You see, right through all the nations that have been going on, corruption reigns.
Yeah.
Starts off maybe as a good idea, and corruption comes in. Somebody rides on alongside and thinks, this is a good idea, isn't it? I can make money out of this.
Yeah,
you know, I suppose we're back to Zacchaeus a little bit, aren't we? You know, Zacchaeus thought, this is a good idea, collecting taxes for the Romans. I can ride with this one. I can become rich quick. And that's exactly what's gone on. You know, the Soviet Union. Everyone's going to be equal. Oh, by the way, Ray, I'm going to be more equal than you. Yeah? It's never going to happen with man.
No.
But when you bring God into the equation, Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. A new commandment I give to you, love one another as I have loved you. You see, when you love somebody enough, you're not going to do them down. You're not going to destroy them and pull them. You're going to build them up. You're going to seek to do good. I know we're not perfect yet. God's still working on us. Thank God he's not given up on me. See, you can take that two ways, can't you? Just get it. God's not giving up on us. God's moving forward with us, and but God wants you to move with him. You know, the Apostle John, he knew Jesus personally. He spent over 3 years with him. He knew him very closely. He was in the, shall we say, an inner circle. He was one that probably spent a lot more time with Jesus than many of the other disciples. And you know, the book of Revelation was revealed to John when he was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos. And if we want to know what worship should be like in the church, then let me make you a suggestion, another one. Read Revelation chapter 4, and chapter
5. 6.
Yeah, 4, 5 and 6 will do for a good start. And when you begin to read those, when you just begin to read those, John knew Jesus closely. And then when the Spirit of God brings this revelation of worship in heaven, when he is taken up by the Spirit into heaven, into the very presence of God, into the presence of angels and Jesus, he's beginning to see how heaven operates. He's beginning to see how paradise was supposed to operate. Right at the very beginning. And he begins to share. He begins to share these things. He writes them down for you and for me. So many people preach on Revelation and say, when they start preaching in Revelation, they're preaching demons, devil, Antichrist, you know, defeat, etc., and that we're going to be caught up and taken out before it really gets bad. Well, let me give you a comment on that one. You're not going to be taken up before it gets bad. You're going to be taken up after you've taken control.
Amen.
In the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
God is not a bailout God.
No.
God is a victorious God. He's not coming to bail you out of your circumstances. He's coming to bring you victory in your circumstances.
Amen.
Because the word says you and I are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So why should I be saying, as more than a conqueror, here I am, things are going to go great for us, and then suddenly I'm like, I've got my ticket, God, when's the train coming to bail me out? When can I leave before everything goes pear-shaped? To me, it doesn't fit with God. It don't fit with the things of kingdom living. It came out from the Roman church. Came out to bring fear. So they could get some more money out of them. You'll pay us some more money and we'll pray you out of this situation. And yet we, the evangelicals, have picked it up and we're running with it. We write books on it. We preach it till it comes out of our ears. Oh, you've got to get saved. You know, God's going to call you out. What's going to happen when that trumpet blows? You know? And you get left behind. It don't fit with that, the wheat and the tare parable. Don't match. Anyway, we're not going to preach that. Worship. What's worship like? You read Revelation chapter 4. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and a voice which I heard like the sound of trumpets speaking with me said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after these things. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was standing in heaven, and one sitting on the throne. And he who was sitting was like a jasper stone and a sardis in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne like an emerald in appearance. And around the throne were 24 elders. Sorry, were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white garments and golden crowns on their heads. And from the throne proceeded flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. and in the center and around the throne, four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first creature was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third creature had a face like of a man, and the fourth creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each of them having six wings, are full of eyes around and within. And the day and night they do not cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Let me tell you this. If God wants to get your attention, when he says it three times, he really means it. He wants you to grasp this. He wants you to get hold of this. This is worship in heaven.
Yeah.
Holy. 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 The beginning of worship in heaven. Holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanksgiving to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down.
Amen.
Now we're getting to it. This is where the church should be. We'll fall down before him, God, who sits on the throne, and will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and because of thee will they exist and were created." Wow. Worshipping God. Casting everything that they had, their authority, their right to be respected, to be honoured. They cast it before God and said, "You are worthy. You are worthy." And they're saying in themselves and to others, "We're nothing."
No.
To who God, to who Jesus, to who the Holy Spirit is. We are as nothing.
Yeah.
But he has given us the privilege that we might be seated in heavenly places. That we might be seated in the presence of God. The presence of God Almighty. And that our worship in church should be that is focused on him and not on ourselves. So often our songs are focused on what I need, what blessings God needs to give me. But the moment that you and I would focus on God, how can I bless God? How can I worship God? What my worship needs to go before God. And we bow before him and we begin to worship and to honour and realise who God really is. Realize what he's done for us. Realize what he's delivered us from. I don't think we fully understand what he's delivered us from. See, most of the time I think we focus on, we say, "Well, it's great, you know, God's delivered me from judgment." I don't think we realize what that means. I think probably most of us here have been quite respectable over the years. You know, probably not done anything too bad really in the eyes of man. Our Jonathan's been brought up in church all his life. What's he done wrong? We don't know what he thinks. But that's the first thing he's done wrong. As a man thinketh, so he is. And we all qualify for that.
Yeah.
Lee, for instance, bless him, in rehab at the moment. Drug addict, alcoholic. Could say, God's done a great work in him, hasn't he? You know, saved him, delivered him. That, you know, he's got a lot to be thankful for. Hasn't he? He has in the natural. So we say, you know, we can turn around and say, "Well, you know, he's going to really be able to thank God." because he's delivered. But you see, it's not just being delivered from his addiction to whatever it is. It's not the fact that Jonathan has been brought up in a Christian family and has had the best of most things, apart from his uncle. You know, he's had the best of most things. But when you realise what has Jesus actually delivered you from? Because he can turn around, Jonathan, and say, well, I had a good upbringing. You know, didn't get in drugs. Go around getting drunk all the time and doing stupid things and being helped along the way and guided and directed. And then again, we stepped out of line, you know, nudge back and push back into line, and that's about them, you know, the worst it's ever got to. So, he's done all right, hasn't he? But that's not what he's been delivered from. What he's been delivered from is eternal damnation.
Amen.
Eternal torment in hell. Because just because parents go to church, that does not make you a Christian, a believer, a disciple. See, I dropped that title, as you well know. It don't make you a disciple of the Lord Jesus. A disciple is one who says, I'm going to follow and do what he tells me to do. And if Jesus says jump, you say how high? Right? Jesus says pray, you say, yes, Lord, I'll pray. Jesus says give, you give. Amen? But each and every one of us, the greatest thing that you and I can thank God for is our deliverance from eternal damnation and separation from the love and the nurture and the protection of God right through eternity. Wow. And every one of us need to realize how much God has delivered us from. None of us can understand what eternal torment would be like. Can you? There's nothing of anything worth. Now, an old Claire could probably turn around and say, well, I know what a bit of eternal torment's like when it came in a small package and did nothing but scream and yell and do all them things and would not be pacified. Am I looking the other way, you? I'm talking to you. Aye. Yes. No, Jonathan's the big package. And Claire, you know, she was getting to a point of absolute desperation. You know, this is eternal torment, nearly, weren't it?
Yeah.
This was not a blessing, she thought. Where did you come from? And where are you going to drive me to? Change your confession, otherwise you'll be getting a rinse. But it's even, yes, Nima, you gave me that laugh.
It was funny.
But it's even worse than that. In that sense, I don't mean that wrongly, but you know what I'm trying to say. The feelings, the emotions, the pain. You ain't going to sleep in hell, by the way. There's no rest. Yes. There's no rest. Claire can tell you what it's like to go without no rest. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's just for, you know, a few months. Seemed like eternity, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
She thought I'm going to lose it. I'm losing it. You know, she got to a point where I'm like, I'm losing my mind with this child. True?
Yep.
Think about eternal torment. That's what we've been delivered from.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's worth really worshiping God. It's not about for now. It's the eternal future. You see, you and I are delivered now into an eternal future in Christ Jesus. We're secure in Christ Jesus for eternity as we walk with him day by day. Eternity's planned. Glory to God. Well, I mean, eternity's planned for the wicked as well. But we've gone for a new package. It's the Jesus package. Secure. Safe. Glory to God. We've got something to worship.
Sure.
Jesus for. We've got something to thank God for. Because whatever's happening to us today, and whatever happens to us tomorrow, God has your eternity laid out.
Amen.
It's safe.
Yeah.
It's secure. And it's wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
And if we can't worship him for that, then I don't know what we can worship him for. But I tell you, God wants us to move to a new level of worship. Because I believe in this year, as we move into a new level of worship, in the realm of the Spirit, God will open our spiritual eyes.
Yeah.
But it's going to mean that you and I are going to have to make some effort. You and I are going to have to press through into the holy place.
Yeah.
We need to read our word. We need to be able to spend time talking to God and let God talk to us.
Yeah.
We need to hear his voice. Because I'll tell you this. You know, they keep telling us, oh, we're in a financial recovery state and situation. They don't know diddly squat. They don't know what's going to happen. You just need one of the big nations to do something stupid financially and everybody's going to go down the same tube again. That's all it takes. A couple of big banks to do the dirty on each other and there you go. We're on the slippery slope to, you know, 1930s crash or whatever, or worse than that. I'm not trying to bring fear, but what I'm saying is that if we trust God, no matter what is going on in the world, if we put God first and we do the things of God first and we let the Word of God be real in our life and take the first place, put God first, then everything else will automatically come in line. Everything else will be sorted and done. Because God has got it all written down already. He says, I've got it all sorted, Edwin.
Yep.
Don't worry. Fear not. 365 days a year, it says, fear not. 365 for every day. Fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. Why are you worried? What are you afraid of? Don't need to be afraid. God's got it all worked out. And as we just follow the Spirit and just let God lead us and direct us, we'll see God make provision. How will he make provision? He'll use the world. I had something happen this last week. Just before Christmas on Facebook, I linked up with a friend who, I don't know how many years we haven't been in touch with him and his wife. We went to their wedding in the States and we've seen the family maybe a couple of three times at the most in the last 25 years. And we linked up on Facebook. And I always try and shove people to the website, to the church website. So they'd found the website, been on the website, looked at everything that's been going off this last few years. Sent me a message, said, I see what you guys have been doing. We just want to be connected with you. Want to just bless you. You know, how can I send you some money? Well, thank God, you know, years ago, Bishop Cody said to me, you need a bank account in America. What for? Was my first question. You do. So I did. It's been massively used for the business situation. But now I've got people in America who say, I'd like to give you $100 for missions work. It's all right. So I'm not paying the bankers a load of money, you know, 25 quid a time. So that means I would lose 25%. So now it's a case of, great, yeah, stick your $100 in there and we work a system out in with us, and it's like, don't cost a penny to do these things. So so just before Christmas, I got $100 towards missions work. A few days ago, I was talking to another friend over in the States. Well, they were talking to me. And suddenly they asked me this question and said, have you still got BA? And I thought, BA? I thought, what's BA? I thought, British Airways, what, you know. And I'm like scratching my head. Anyway, after about 5 minutes, I suddenly realised, oh, Bank of America. It's my bank account in the States. So I said, oh, so you had me there for a few minutes. I said, I couldn't work it out. I said, no. Yeah, I said, I've still got that account in over in the States. So I said, is it this account number they got the first four digits? So I said, I had a look. I said, yeah, I said, it's this. So I gave them the account number. Because they said, because I'm in the bank now. So I said, oh, okay. So I sent them the bank details. I got unstuck $250 for missions work. Glory to, I got $350 already towards the work of missions for this year of 2014. Glory to God. Ain't God good, you see? He's already providing for those things that God has laid on my heart. And I've said, Lord, you will have to provide. So God has begun the process providing. Hallelujah. And I just think that's fantastic. But again, you see, it's about putting him, God, first. Putting God first. In your work life, in your study life, in your family life, put God first. I can't see a better way. That's what I've sought to do all my life. To endeavour to put God first. Some people say, well, you haven't got a big church for it. Do I really want a big church? What I want to see is signs, wonders and miracles. Amen. And you can't get much bigger than travelling the world. No. Can you?
No.
You know, I mean, and if our nation at the moment is wants to remain godless, then our responsibility is for us to pray for our nation, but for us to become more like Jesus.
Yeah.
And for you and I, that each and every one of us will come to a level of holiness and righteousness and truth, that the power of God, that the glory that lived, that dwelt in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, should that same glory should dwell in you.
Amen.
That's God's total intention,
yeah,
that his glory would indwell you. Because when you go back to creation, right, and God took Adam, and God breathed into Adam his spirit. You read Revelation, and from the throne, there's flashes and lights and lightning. What is that? Anybody got any ideas? I think it must be the glory of God, don't you? So when God breathes into you, what is God breathing into you? But what does his word bring? The glory. God says he won't give his glory to any others. But he's breathing into you and me glory. It's breathing into you and me heaven.
Yeah.
Come on, church. You know, I mean, you've got to catch this. When we really get saved and let God get hold of us and he breathes into us by his spirit, he's breathing into us heaven. He's breathing into us his glory. He's breathing into us something of himself. Something of himself. And he's doing it for you. He's doing it for you. Because he loves you, cares for you. And the more we worship, the more of his glory will be breathed into us. And it will manifest itself in the flesh. It has to do. It has to do. Because that was God's right intention with Adam and Eve. And the plan hasn't changed. I keep repeating this, but you will get, somebody's going to get over this. The plan hasn't changed. Even though there have been disruptions, hindrances to the plan, God did not change his mind. He said he's the same yesterday, the beginning of creation, today, and forever. He says, he didn't change his mind. The plan is ongoing. The purpose of God are ongoing. And they will come to completion for his eternal plan. Are you part of it?
Amen.
Praise God. Worthy art thou, O Lord, and our God, to receive glory and honour and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will, they existed and were created. Because of God's will, you exist. Because of God's will, you were created. You're here for a reason. You're here for a purpose. And you're here because of God's intention to do you good and to cause you to be a blessing and to cause you to shine out the glory, the majesty, and we're here to worship God. Amen. Let us be a people that will press forward. Let us be a people that will change in our worship. Let us be a people that say, I want more and more of my God. I want to be more available to him and for him. And as we do that, I believe we shall see signs, wonders and miracles in the future. I honestly do. I am not giving up. God didn't give up on me. And I'm not giving up on God's word. He's faithful and true to it right to the end. So are you a seeker or just a looker? What are you going to be?
I'm seeking.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, back to that verse again. And his righteousness. Seek ye first the king. When you've got the king, you've got the kingdom. That's right, Edwin. Find the king. His name's Jesus. And let him live and rule and reign in your life. And the kingdom is all part of yours. And the blessings of the kingdom belong to the children of the kingdom. Amen.
There's the riches and wealth untold, is promised.
Oh, absolutely, Edwin. There are riches and wealth untold, but we don't comprehend this. But praise God, let's press in, let's worship him in anticipation as well as. Sometimes we're going to have to worship him with an anticipation of what he's going to do. Yeah? What he's going to do. God says, I can do far more than you lot can even imagine. You know, you can sit for a week and come up with a plan, and God says, is that all you've got? Is that all you've got? Is that the biggest thing you can think of? God said to Job, come on then. That's basically what he said. Come on, Job. Where were you when I did this? And if you think you're so smart and clever, come on. That's it. And God, you know, God could say to us, you guys, all right, spend a week dreaming up something. God saying, yeah, I haven't scratched the surface yet of what I'm going to do. Watch the programmes on like the sky at night and see the universe that we can see, the bit of it that we can see. Don't listen to don't listen too much to what they've got to say, because these guys are godless. But see with the eye. They think, my God created that just for me to see. Oh, just for me to see. He said to Abraham, you know, just look at the Milky Way. When you get into one of those real dark zones and you look and you think, there's no chance of counting them. No chance of counting them. It's a bit like getting a black surface and then getting a sieve and getting icing sugar. And just do that and say, right, I want you to count every grain of icing sugar on there. Yeah. I tell you, you know, that's the nearest easy explanation I can give you if you've never seen it. It's a bit like that, count all them. Or, I'll tell you what, an easy one. Go to Scarborough, and I'll give you a week, and just count between a certain distance on the beach, and just count all those grains of sand. It's going to take you more than a week. In fact, I reckon if you got a bucket of sand, that'd do, wouldn't it? Just a bucket of sand. We could try that as an experiment, couldn't we? Who would like to volunteer? I'm going to get a bucket of sand and I would like you to count all the grains that are in that bucket. We won't last long, would we? This, you are joking, aren't you? Dry thimbleful. Yeah, what you'd have to do, you'd have to count it. But then again, not every grain of sand's the same size. And then they're not all the same shape. So when you put them in, they sort of compact in a different way. So that's that theory blown out of the water. That'd give you an average, but we didn't get the full picture. And then again, you see, we could weigh them. But then again, if you get any moisture in, that blows that one out of the theory, doesn't it? So how many? Then you've got to come out with a thing. How many buckets of sand are there on Scarborough Beach? That might be another challenge, wouldn't it? Well, exactly. And then when you've done that, you then say, how many grains of sand around the coast of England? Don't go up to Scotland and go on the west coast, because when you get to the edge of the cliffs and the sun's shining, you go, forget it. Yeah, try the Sahara Desert. How deep does it go, by the way? See what I mean? How great is our God? Hey, oi. How great is his name? He's the greatest one. He's forever the same. He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. And he said, I'm never going to leave you.
Amen.
Put your trust in me.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We used to sing that song years ago. So, the Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Trust you've been encouraged and blessed.